Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Bogil Aston and you are listening to a limited podcast series on design thinking, created in partnership with Advance HE. Today's guest, Luke Nethercliffe, is a Warwick graduate, a former Warwick Innovation Fellow, Warwick Secret Challenge facilitator and trainer, entrepreneur and co-founder of Let's Level Up, an education startup focused on building the next generation of skilled professionals. I invited Luke because of his outstanding contribution to embedding design thinking into the Warwick culture during his time as a student there, but also as an innovator who continues to champion the use of design thinking in training the next generation of professionals, offering a very multifaceted viewpoint on the subject. Luke, it's so good to have you as a guest on this episode. I'm really excited to be talking to you because not only you have been living and breathing design thinking when you were a student at Warwick, you were also an amazing example of student leadership in all of its definitions, but also as a co-founder of Let's Level Up, now redefining what this future of education looks like. So thank you so much. I'm really excited to hear about your perspective on this.
Thank you, Bo. Yeah, I mean, as you know, I love design thinking, talking about it, thinking about it, and seeing how we can really take it into the education space, because I think there's so much benefit that design thinking can really bring to higher education, which I guess is where we're both looking at this lens from. So yeah, super excited for this conversation, and thank you for having me on the podcast today.
Amazing. Thank you. So let's start from the beginning, really. How did you get introduced to design thinking? And what was that moment when you realized there's something really special about it in connection to education and what you wanted to do with some of your visions?
Yeah, I remember I was setting up a project for refugees, actually. So I was working on this social enterprise where we wanted to create backpacks to help refugees. And me and some other students, I was in my first year of university at the time, we had this great idea. We wanted to help these underprivileged individuals in our local area. And we're like, let's just go out and do it. And that was the first time someone told me about, like, have you thought about human-centered design thinking in order to actually create a solution? Because what we'd actually done, and I only realized this a couple months later, is we'd come up with a solution to a problem without speaking to our target user, without speaking to people who support refugees, without like talking to refugees themselves. We, from our position as myself and none of my co-founders being refugees, we tried to impose a solution on them that we thought was right. And actually the design thinking experience to me and why it matters so much is it's all about empathizing with that user itself and being able to define problems and create solutions based on that whole empathy process, which is the first stage of it. And I think why that's so important for higher education itself is that if we're going to create effective education solutions and programs and universities and whatever education holds in the future and whatever that entails, we need to be empathizing with the students, the teachers, the people, and they all need to come together and collectively contribute their ideas and create ideas and solutions based on that and their problems, rather than someone just imposing solutions based on no research or data. It was a big eye-opening moment for me when I found out about this process, and then through learning more about it and actually going on to teach it with you, Bo, it's been a great learning experience, and I'm really happy that even yesterday me and my team were doing some empathy mapping. So we're really still trying to practice design thinking as much as possible.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. And when you started stepping up into student leadership roles within the university and your department, at what point did you realize that design thinking had a role to play, or there was something within those student-led spaces that you could do that was different with design thinking?
We did this thing at Warwick called the Warwick Secret Challenge, which was all about students setting challenges with other students and finding solutions to problems. But in order to find those solutions, it was all about empathizing with the other students. And I think it was those sort of moments where actually a student or a teacher came to us and said, actually, we care about these sort of problems which are happening. Can you help us find a solution? I personally found that experience so empowering that someone valued my opinion. And this one was all about how can we support internationalization at university, which wasn't necessarily something that I'd often thought about, but I really enjoyed that experience that I felt I could play a part in shaping that future in some small way. I could put my opinions and problems and thoughts out there. And actually, I could also support my development as a leader as well through being part of a team and developing my communication skills.
Yeah, I love it. And I think after attending that workshop and then subsequently running them as well, I could really see that not only you've learned a lot about design thinking, but there was something else that you were really learning about community. What did it mean to, you know, suddenly see yourself as part of an institution, but then opening yourself up to more diverse people within your university community?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that at university, it is possible definitely to be in silos, such as like within your course department, for example, or you might be in a sports team or a society where actually it's only a specific segment of the university population. Or you might be in quite a diverse student population, but you have little interaction with other members of staff, for example. So one of the things that we really valued was interdisciplinary teams and workshops and learning as part of the Secret Challenge. I think that's what really made it special, is everyone felt like they owned a little part and they could contribute. And that's something that's really important when you're trying to encourage design thinking and you're bringing people from different departments together, is you say, actually, everyone has their own speciality, their own lived experiences that they can bring to the table. Everyone can learn from that, because there's going to be something that I know that you don't know and that someone else knows that I don't know, and their own unique lens on every situation. So I see that as a really important process. And I think one of the beauties of developing these sort of interdisciplinary communities and highlighted why it's so important. If we want to really come up with innovative solutions and creative answers to problems that actually have meaningful impact, we need to bring in lots of different stakeholders who come from a range of thought and backgrounds.
When it comes to more traditional student voice and student engagement activities like the student staff liaison committees or focus groups or workshops or, you know, some of the surveys, it requires a particular type of students a lot of the time to come forward. A student that perhaps has the time or the social capital or that kind of self-belief that they can be part of that system. And I think design thinking opens up some of these spaces for more diverse students, for the less typical student voice activist kind of student. Design thinking, I think, can be that antidote. You know, it's not a panacea, of course. There are still other methodologies that we can and should be using, but I think it's one of those ways through which we can open up the spaces for student leadership that's not as demanding, can be fit around studies and other student commitments, because it's just structured in a different way. It's run in a different way. It invites you to contribute in a different way, you know?
Yes, I think you're exactly right, because when I think about, say, student staff committees or focus group, I think it does attract certain individuals and it kind of acts as a signaling mechanism. Some people might have great intentions, or some people might see it as a way they can boost their CV or whatever. I think through what we called it at Warwick was the Warwick Secret Challenge. And through doing that, it didn't really set any great labels for what people would be entering into, who they should be. It didn't discriminate in any of those factors. And so it really did bring a diverse group of people. So I think that's one of the most important features about the secret challenge as a whole. And it didn't really have the same formal boundaries or ways in which you should act or speak or listen. I mean, we did always set some ground rules, especially mm-hmm. around giving feedback and listening and valuing others, obviously. But I think oftentimes it was quite messy and unstructured in its own sort of way, which, yeah, I think was really to its benefit, because for individuals, through some of it being not so structured and people struggling with what they're really meant to be doing, I think it really helped their understanding of their problem and seeing things in a different lens.
Yeah, which is in itself so valuable. I mean, you've trained so many people in running these workshops, but also you've run so many of them and have used design thinking, obviously, for your own businesses, but also within that higher education environment. From your experience, what impact can design thinking have on a student's mindset and growth?
I think the first one I'd say is discomfort, because like I said at the start of the podcast, we wanted to solve a problem. We came up with a solution. We thought, great, let's go and build it and it's going to really make a positive impact. But design thinking is all about getting to the root of the problem, empathizing with the users, understanding that. And that's really where you're going to grow, is in that uncomfortable stage where you find out more about the problem that you're solving. And actually from there, solutions might not be so clear cut or obvious, or you might have completely new solutions. But that whole process requires you to be vulnerable and to be willing to grow and accept that actually a lot of the preconceived notions or ways in which you viewed things, they might not have actually been correct, and that's okay. So I'd say definitely discomfort is a kind of mindset that you need to be able to embrace and be sort of becoming comfortable with the uncomfortable,
yeah.
Which is always easier said than done. I think in terms of other things, I think it's so important that you can try and learn to empathize and understand that your experiences and the way in which you perceive problems is different to other people, and accepting that sometimes you might not even be able to understand them in many sort of ways. And I think that's something that design thinking can help you with for tackling problems. But I think it's a thing about on a societal level, when I see so much divide between people, it's important that we can try and empathize with others if we're going to solve those. And I think design thinking can help contribute to those sort of things through valuing everyone's opinions and trying to empathize with other individuals. And I think the last part is around creativity. And if you'd asked me a couple of years ago, I was never incredible at like art or design technology in like school and stuff. And so I never really regarded myself as a creative individual. I'm much better at writing and speaking and stuff like that. So I think for me, it enabled to be unleashed this creative side and recognize that actually we can all be creative if we have this kind of confidence, this creative confidence, and everyone can be creative in their own sort of ways. And what I really loved about the secret challenge when we did it in person was getting lots of paper, putting stuff around, getting lots of post-it notes, maybe even actually making prototypes and stuff like that. And actually being able to unleash this creative side that unfortunately education system has sometimes shut off, yeah. And kind of put down, and therefore we've neglected it over time. So unlearning all of that sort of creative trauma that we might have suffered at certain points in our life.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, I feel so passionate about spreading that message through design thinking. And that's why I think it's important that some of these activities sit outside of the curriculum, where It's non-assessed. It doesn't count towards your mark. And students have the opportunity to explore something in such an open-ended way. And I think it's valuable and it's great that design thinking is now being taught within the curriculum. But I think there's also something really interesting about using it as an extracurricular activity in some of these student voice and student engagement spaces, because it just removes some of that pressure whilst allowing us to create these kind of win-win situations where students are learning these new amazing skills, which are so powerful. And the university and staff are learning about these innovation problems in a completely different way. And then just through a short workshop, you already have these cross-pollinations and ideation sort of moments.
Yeah, I think the dream for me is when there's like this mixture of both, because I think there's benefit to studying theory and actually making sure you get your head down to kind of understand some of the concepts. But I'm a big believer in this extracurricular, not having the traditional barriers and ways in which these structures around, say, courses can shape people. I think it does give you sometimes more creative freedom to be yourself, because you might not be worrying so much about marks or how the teacher might perceive you in some sense. So I think finding ways to get that into extracurricular, but also if you can find ways to bring that freedom into traditional courses and modules, I think can both benefit from that. How can you find ways to break down these barriers so that people feel like they can truly express themselves? And one of the great things about the Secret Challenge was it was all based on university problems. And so people felt like they were able to actually make some sort of impact at the university. And whenever we were doing it, we always communicated to those who are taking the Secret Challenge that actually the insights that you could have a big impact on the university or policy or some specific area. One of them was around how people chose modules, because we had a really bad system. And so we asked students to reimagine what this looked like. And there has been some changes, partly based on Secret Challenge input. So through being able to communicate that and showing to students how they could make an impact, I think was another meaningful way in which you could increase motivation and, yeah, get students interested in this sort of thing.
Yeah, realize their own potential in creating impact and creating change, whether that's at university or whether that's, you know, outside of their university life. I think there's something really interesting about how it empowers students.
Definitely. I think, and when we look at general trends amongst what motivates individuals, we're definitely seeing impact as one of the very key drivers for Gen Z and millennials and young individuals who might not be traditionally motivated by other things. And we're seeing that in the way they want to live their life and purchasing decisions and their workplace behavior and which companies they work for. So I think actually being able to empower people and show how they can make a change and make an impact can make them feel great and make them feel like actually they are contributing in some small way. And actually, when they're at the university, they're not just this cog in the university system, which I think students can find themselves a bit lost in at some points. So if you're able to show that they are valued as part of how the ecosystem works, I think that's really important and meaningful.
Interesting. So I'm wondering, what is your advice when it comes to design thinking and, you know, these kind of alternative approaches to engaging students and involving students in that innovation process? It's quite a new space for many students and staff. Is there anything you would want to share with them as they are embarking maybe on some of these new...
I guess my advice would be, when you think about design thinking, don't be put off or disillusioned by any complexity within it or the fact that some of its roots do come from technology companies, actually. If you look at resources and things on the internet, there's some really good blogs and stuff out there, and a lot of it is very digestible. And I'd say start small in understanding, but in the true spirit of design thinking, one of the key parts of it is actually prototyping and testing. And if you want to become better at design thinking, you kind of have to embrace its mindset that actually you are going to fail, you are going to face challenges. And yeah, that's all part of the whole learning process, which design thinking really wants to promote. So yeah, what I'd say is start small, maybe start with a small workshop with some people from your university or whatever context that you're in. Try and make it as diverse as possible. I'm sure you'll be listening to other things which Bo touches upon about the Warwick Secret Challenge. There's lots of different things that you can learn from that. And going through the whole process and understanding it and then trying to just implement it in some small way, and then testing it out, seeing the impact, and then going back to the drawing board and re-implementing it, because it's not going to be a straightforward, super easy process to put into your organization or your team or whatever context that you're in. So yeah, I guess my advice, maybe being a stubborn entrepreneur, is just try and go out there and do it and see what happens, and then work out what your learnings are later.
Yeah, it's great advice. And I think it's challenging and it is going to present a lot of ambiguity and uncertainty when you're starting out and creating innovation in an institution. And like I said, starting with small experiences and together seeing how valuable simply coming together can be. You know, sometimes the solution isn't the point. It's great if you can get there. But actually, I think what design thinking does and has done for Warwick is that it started to create a change of culture and it started to shift some of the conversations. And I think at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I felt like I did certainly create connections with individuals, and it really did create this community-based culture where I made friendships and connections with people that, I mean, I never would have come across or spoken to in another situation. I think that's so valuable for opening those doors, and it really gave me a new lens that I felt I could bring into my life, and I hope I could contribute to theirs as well.
And Luke, what's the best way to connect with your work and what Let's Level Up is doing? How can people find out more and see what sort of revolution you're creating?
Yeah, so you can find us at letslevelup.io, or you can type it in on Instagram or LinkedIn. You can find me, Luke Nethercliffe, on LinkedIn, Instagram, wherever else you use social media, Twitter. So yeah, I'm always happy to connect with people, see if there's any way in which I can support your journey. And if you'd be interested in teaching with us or finding out more about what we do, please do drop me a line at any point.
Thank you so much, Luke. It's always a pleasure talking to you, but I think talking to you about changing higher education is particularly interesting.
Thank you, Beau.